Hello and welcome to episode number 11 of the Eggers Gallery Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Eggers. Our show recognizes and celebrates visual artists who exhibit their art at the Eggers Gallery. For more information about the artists and the gallery, please visit eggersgallery.com. Or you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today's interview is with visual artist Robert Mullinix. Now, let's take a peek inside the artist's studio.
Hello, I'm Robert Mullinix. I'm a stay-at-home dad and artist, and I am an adjunct instructor, and I'm making a career out of all of that. For Oxford, Ohio, I've lived in Iowa, went to the University of Illinois for graduate study in painting, graduated in 1990, and have been working as an artist ever since.
Well, Robert, it's a pleasure to have you exhibiting here at the Eggers Gallery at the Forest Show. Our first question we have for you is, how is your personality reflected in your work?
I would say that my personality is reflected by the manner that I paint the images. In my opinion, contemporary paintings should be aware of themselves, self-conscious in a sense. They should make the viewer aware that they are looking at a painting. And so either responding to or utilizing the photograph, that's one way in which I tend to do that, or making the thing into an object and then painting over the top of that. And how does that relate to my personality? I would say that I'm a complex person, and I really try to invest as much of the thinking that goes into the painting as possible. So I fuse the object with idea as well as image making. I try to make the whole thing a compelling object as best I can.
What would you say influences your art?
You're asking me about, in graduate school, we called the it. Why am I doing what I'm doing? I love landscape painting. I love the Hudson River School, even though now their nationalism is extremely problematic. But I love the grandeur that they were able to capture, the sublime. I am very retrograde in my taste, and I like paintings to still be paintings. I'm not a fan of the zombie formalism, as they're calling it, but I understand it. While I have a taste for the 19th century landscape, I also am aware of the contemporary movements. So I think about those and I keep them in the background. So there are a lot of art influences. There are contemporary artists like Cameron Martin and Eric Aho that I like their work very much as well. But the reason I'm painting landscape probably goes back to growing up on a farm. I continue to make imagery that my family and coworkers that are not artists can relate to. But I just love the subject.
What makes art good to you?
Felix Gonzalez Torres is one of the artists that I think does that best. You know, it might be strange to hear a landscape painter mention him, but I think he's one of the greats. And what makes it bad is if you're doing it for the market, if you're doing it for invalid reasons. And again, that's something you might not expect a landscape painter to say.
How do you go about starting a work?
Well, I have several ways that I start pieces. I typically try not to have a blank canvas. One of the ways I do that is I often start with a toner transfer, a Xerox enlargement of an image that I maybe manipulated in Photoshop, transfer that directly to the surface. Another way I might do it is I have paintings that have been collaged in canvas before I started actually painting. I try always to give myself a jumping off point. I've actually come to a period where I'm needing to get back to basics, and I'm starting with still life now. So some of the tricks I've had in my hat, I'm moving away from. Even so, I find myself inventing light still life paintings that are looking a lot more like my former work than I thought they would.
How has your practice changed over time? You say you started with landscapes and now you're moving to more still life. How has your practice changed over time?
When I graduated from graduate school in painting from University of Illinois, at that time it was a school that emphasized theory over practice. It was the height of postmodernism. So my paintings were really just Xerox transfers of images that I might photo montage. They were black and white, heavily collaged. And gradually over time, I decided to include color, and then I started layering the transfers as though they were glazes and incorporating color, translucent color glazes, until the point where I just started using brushes again. And about 10 years ago, I actually started working in a conventional, traditional brushwork manner and working from life directly to some extent. Mm. So over time, I find myself moving away from the empty theory and toward just making work that I wanted to make.
That's great. What are your future goals as an artist?
Probably sounds self-serving talking to a gallerist, but I'd like to find representation, gallery reputation. And I'd like to have some more market validation. My goal is to just keep on doing what I'm doing now. I know I have a lot of life things that I'm juggling, but all the while I'm still making work, and I want to maintain that. I'm living the dream, really, and so I want to keep doing what I'm doing.
Where do you go when you're looking for calls for artists?
Well, I have some very specific answers to that question. I look at New York Foundation for the Arts, NYFA.org, Art Deadline, Cafe, Calls for Artist Entry, and then Entry Thingy, I look at occasionally. And probably one of the main ones is College Art Association, CAA.org. Between Cafe, Art Deadline, and CAA, those are the main places I look. I haven't found NYFA to be quite as productive for me as I would have hoped. Those are the places I go most often.
Where would you say you have the most success selling your art? Is it on certain websites, art fairs, etc.?
I've sold paintings through brick and mortar gallery. I've sold through a website, a company named U Gallery. I'm not working with anybody right now, and so sales have come through connections, personal connections, and word of mouth.
If you were to take us on a virtual walkthrough through your studio, can you describe what your daily routine is like?
Before I get to the studio, I'm thinking about what I'm going to do that day, and I'm kind of in my mind planning what paintings I might work on. I'm thinking about it. I'm pretty much thinking about it all the time, but, right before I go in, I'm kind of in a planning stage. And I go to get my cup of coffee at my local place, and I walk in, set all my stuff down, and spend a good maybe 45 minutes just looking. So the plan that I had in my head, that might just go out the window and see something I hadn't seen before. I work probably 20 or 30 paintings at a time, and so depending on how I'm feeling that day, that's going to affect which of those I'm most drawn to, compelled by. Actually have a variety of methods that I work in, so I might feel like working very naturalistically that day, or I might feel like sanding the painting down. And if I'm just not feeling it, then I might just string up picture wire on the backs of paintings that day. I try to do something art-related every day, whether that's flying to shows or painting. If I can't paint that day, then I'm doing something in the office or something like that. Once I have selected a painting, then I'm going to be focused on that for a good 3 hours plus at a time. Then I'll take a break and look at it for another half hour or so and decide whether or not I'm going to continue on that day or work on another one. Often I've got paint sitting on my palette that I really need to use up. Try not to waste anything. So another reason I'm working at 20 at a time, I think, oh, maybe I can apply this color here. Sometimes I'm really surprised by what happens when I do that. Try to include some serendipity in the process.
Nice. And do you have a radio on, or you listen to any music or talk radio, or what would we hear if we walked into your studio?
Well, you'd hear my fans roaring. I've got a studio, and I share it with the space with other artists. They don't all like oil paint, so I've got window fans that I've rigged up, box fans that are stacked. And so it's just roaring air, and I'll be wearing headphones. And so I'm listening to an eclectic mix of Yellow Tango and instrumental music that is inspired by Velvet Underground and artists like that. I try to stick to instrumental music mostly so that I'm not distracted by a lot of lyrics. But yeah, I just try to get into a headspace where I'm just right brain.
What would be the best tip you could give another artist?
Don't give up. You can have a lot of days where you just wonder what you're doing. And, you know, if you've got tannings, as I have, after you've been working for, you know, a good 20 years and, well, 30 years, I've got a stack of panic that I don't know. I'm starting to have a trouble knowing what to do with them next. And I have days where I'm just like, what am I doing and why? But I go on because I just feel like I'd be really unhappy if I'm not making something. And I'd be unhappy if I'm not making what I'm making. But just don't give up on the dark days.
Good advice. Good advice indeed. So where can people go to find out more about your work?
My work is online at rwmolinex.com. It's also on robertmolinex.blogspot.com. So if you just Google Robert Molinex, I'm the first couple of things that come up.
Perfect. Well, Robert, we'd like to thank you for showing at the Eggers Gallery at the Forest Show, and hope more people will check you out, and we'd love to see what you're doing in the near future.
All right. Thank you very much for the time and opportunity.
The Eggers Gallery would like to thank all of the participating artists in the Forest Show. Those include Chaz Martin, CJ Elsick, Jamie Rodriguez, Julie Guerrero, Maya Cereda, Mark Lavitelli, Mauricio Pazviola, Nicole Ferran, and Robert Molinex. For more information, please visit theeggersgallery.com. Thank you for joining us on our peek inside the artist studio.